As we come together today on this beautiful feast of the Holy Trinity Sunday, as we reflect on this great mystery of God, three persons, one God, three persons who interact with us in apparently unique ways, but really where one is present, all three are present. This mystery is great. It's beyond our full comprehension. There is a story of St. Augustine while he was a bishop and preparing to write his treatise on the Trinity. And as he's walking down the beach, he comes across, and he's just at the point where he's thinking, "Ah, oh, I think I have it. I think now I can articulate it. Now I can explain it." And at that point, he notices a boy on the beach in front of him with this hole dug in the sand and with a little pail. And he's going back and forth from the ocean to the hole and filling it. And St. Augustine says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm going to put all the water in that ocean in that little hole." St. Augustine says, "That's impossible. Just as impossible as you truly understanding the Trinity." And then the little boy disappears. And there is great truth to that. My professor in the seminary who taught us Trinity for 4 months, he began the course by saying, "Anyone who speaks about the Trinity for more than 3 minutes typically goes into heresy." And then he started to teach us for the next 4 months about the Trinity. But anyway, we all feared for his eternal salvation. No. Because the Trinity is such a mystery, I mean, coming to grasp this concept of three persons, but this total and perfect unity, this understanding of the Father, and then the Son who proceeds from the Father, and as we say in our creed, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, comes from the Father. And then the Holy Spirit, that intense love between the Father and the Son, that love is so incredibly intense that it actually brings forth life in the Holy Spirit. Now that sounds very nice, but where it gets more complex that your mind starts to go, "Oh, wait a minute," is, but all existed in eternity because God dwells in eternity. That means one did not exist before the other, but all have existed from eternity. There is no beginning. There is no end. That when Jesus Christ came down into this earth, he didn't start to exist at that moment. He existed from all eternity. When I try and explain the concept of the Trinity so we can access it, we can appreciate it, never fully understand it, but appreciate it more. I will quite often use the example of water. And we all know the base of water, the chemical formula of water, which is H2O. H2O. There we go. All the budding scientists over here. Yes. So you have water in the liquid state. It's H2O. It has that nature. That's its essence. And then you take water and you freeze it, and it's still H2O. It still has that nature. It still has that essence, that same chemical compound. And then you take water and you boil it, and it becomes steam. It becomes a gas, and it's still H2O. It is still the exact same nature. And we have this dynamic relationship with God where we interact with the three persons of the Trinity seemingly in distinct ways, and yet really all three are present. And it's this image of God, the loving Father, the creator of the universe, the merciful, the one who wants to sustain us in being by his very love for us. The only Son who comes down and shows us his humanity, shows us in the fullness of his humanity God, and what God desires for humanity. And then as Jesus talks about in the gospel today, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Paraclete, who is going to come, who will be sent by the Father and the Son, who will proclaim to them all the truths of the Father. this incredible dynamic and relationship. It's a relationship of love that we are called to enter into and participate in. In understanding the second person of the Trinity, there is the story of Saint Damian. Saint Damian the leper. Saint Damian was sent to a leper colony to erect a prefabricated chapel so the people in the leper colony could worship God and had a place to go and worship God. But he wasn't the first one sent. The first person who went arrived in the leper colony and was so horrified by the appearances, he actually swam back out to the ship and left and wouldn't stay and to even erect the leper erect the chapel. So Saint Damian was sent next because he also was not only a priest, he had previous experience as a carpenter. And so they sent him to erect the chapel. He was supposed to stay there for a day or two and then leave. And so he went and he erected the chapel, but he stayed. And as he went about and walked among the colony and the people, and as he would celebrate Mass on Sunday, and as he walked around, and you know, very few people would show up, though. He was always amazed at how few showed up. And each Sunday, as he would start his homily, he would say, "And as you lepers know," and he would start and he would relate the scriptures to them, relate the calling to them. And then one day after his doing his rounds in exhaustion, he went home to bathe his tired, weary feet. And as he placed his feet in the warm water, he realized that one of his feet, he could not feel the warmth of the water. And so he knew what had happened, that now he had contracted leprosy. And so then the next Sunday, he starts his homily by saying, "We lepers." And all of a sudden, the relationship and the dynamic between him and the people who lived in the leper colony changed completely. And from that Sunday on, all of a sudden the church was full. And it was full because now they knew he was one of them. And that, in essence, is the mystery of Jesus Christ coming into the world and showing us that he is one with us. One with us in everything. In suffering, in life, in love, in passion, in compassion, in misery, in sadness, that he is one with us. He's experienced everything that we can experience, and it is this immense love of the Father who sends the Son into the world for us. The great mystery of the Trinity is a mystery of perfect love and harmony. And in our world, when we see discord and war and pain and suffering, well, then we experience those parts of the world that have wandered away from the love and mercy and unity of God. This dynamic of the intricate relationship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, everything we do in Mass, everything we do in the sacraments is all in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Where one is present, all three are present. The dignity given to one is actually given to all three. There is no distinction in their glory, no distinction in their majesty, no distinction in the honor that is due to them, because they are all part of the one, they are all the one Godhead. St. Paul, in the second reading today, gives us insight into it, and he does it in a most unique way with what he relates it to. Since we are all justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, Father and the Son, through whom we have obtained access to this grace, the grace of the Holy Spirit, in which we stand and we boast in our hope of sharing the very glory of God, children of God. And not only that, and here's the interesting part, we also boast in our sufferings. You know, I love Scripture. Every time I read it, something else jumps out at me. And as I was reading this, I thought, boast in our sufferings. There aren't too many people I know that boast in their sufferings. know that suffering produces endurance. Speaking to a young mother this morning just before Mass, and she said, being a mother is hard. I said, yep, you're right. Suffering produces endurance. It's true. When we suffer through something and we persevere through it, it builds up endurance. And endurance? Well, that produces character. When we do what is right in the midst of those challenging moments, that's what develops character. And character? Well, that produces hope. And that hope does not disappoint us, because that hope is in God's love that has been poured into our hearts. How? Through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The very love of God that is poured into our hearts, dwelling within us, where one is present, all three are present. Today, as we celebrate this Eucharist, we are called to reflect on this great mystery. This mystery of a God who loves us so unconditionally that he allows us to interact with him in three distinct persons. This all-loving, all-compassionate, merciful, creative God, Father, who also allows us to relate to him through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our brother, who has come to show us the immense love for God and the immense love that God has for us. And a God who allows us to relate to him through the grace of the Holy Spirit, who inspires us and dwells within our very being. That's what we are called to reflect on and give thanks today for. And as we celebrate the baptisms of these four children today, that's the gift they're receiving. They're receiving the gift of becoming children of this loving and merciful Father. They're receiving the gift of becoming brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who was willing to do anything for us, even die for us. And he's still there, willing to do anything for us. And these children who are going to receive the Holy Spirit for the first time in a new and dynamic way, becoming children of God, filled with his grace, so that that relationship with God, the very love of God, dwells within them. And they experience that. That is what we are here to celebrate. That's the gift that we pass on to these children today.